Now, one of the things I wanted to say, you know, I came out of Zimbabwe and I was thinking about all the stuff at the school. I'm thinking, man, this is how much is this going to cost? It's going to be so complicated for us to get pens and pencils and resources and have printed materials and all this stuff. And I came there and I think the first session we sat down and the Lord gave me a really good spiritual kick in the rear end and said, stop making excuses. And just a great reminder of how big our God is and how much he owns and how many resources he has and how nothing's impossible for him. And so really, really encouraging and uplifting messages from Brother Hunt, and really all weekend long. Laverne was able to be with us on Sunday and get to share in some of the joy of the time and the Word. And you know what? This is how it all began right here. You remember that? Remember that moment? Some of you were here for that. For prayer. You might recognize some of these faces, or at least the back of these heads. Because that's you. This is how this began. And I wanted you to see how it ended as well. And that's us at the airport, getting ready to drive back to our homes. I wanted to share, you know, that because I wanted to lead into this idea about why we do what we do. I hopefully began that way in my ramblings at the beginning, but it's always good, I think, for us as a church and as individuals to evaluate why we do what we do, to really think through that. It is I think the human dilemma for us to get in the way of good missions and ministry and worship and all that kind of stuff. We are our biggest problem, if I could say it this way. You know, I know there's a lot of talk today in the world in which we live about self-actualization and self-fulfillment and all this kind of stuff. But that's not the answer. Christ gave us the answer. The answer is to deny oneself and take up a cross and follow Him. See, self's always been the problem, hasn't it? And it's a problem for missions too, by the way. To evaluate properly our motives for missions and ministry. And I want to say, obviously, and I hope you've already heard this, that the purpose or the goal of missions is the glory of God. Everything else is just the means to that end. The glory of God. And I want to just kind of walk through, if I can, in closing all this out, through some scriptures so that you're not confused about the issue. My brother Jonathan read from Isaiah 42 about how God will not share his glory with another, not give his glory to another. God doesn't share glory. You understand that?
Yeah.
He's God, and there is no other. And everything was created for Him and by Him and through Him, and everything that we do is meant to be for Him, right? Yeah. And everything that we are is meant to something to demonstrate something about Him. We're to go and to do with certain thoughts in our minds about Him and certain words on our lips that reveal something about who He is, so that everything we do and say, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, what we're to do for the glory of God. Probably no text in the Bible reveals the passion of God for His own glory more bluntly than Isaiah 48 verses 9 through 11. Listen to this. It says, "For my name's sake I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, he says it twice, I do it. And for how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another." I found that for many people, those words like that, and walk through that, it's like a big old theological hammer. Boom, every time you hear that. For my name's sake. Listen to that again. For my name's sake, for the sake of my praise, for my own sake, he says, how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. What this text hammers home to us is the centrality of God in the pursuit of His own glory. Yeah. The most passionate heart for the glorification of God is God's heart. Think about that. Meditate on that. Chew on that for a few thousand years, all right? Yeah. Yeah, God's ultimate goal is to uphold and display the glory of His name. In other words, God wants to be known.
Yeah.
He wants the whole world to know who He is and what He's like. Right? He wants to put Himself on display. And by the way, let me say this. It is right for God to do that.
Yes.
It's selfish for us to do that. Why? Because we're imperfect. We're sinners. But God is perfect in every way. He's the only perfect being in all of His created universe, right? So it is right for God to pursue His own glory. God chose a people for His glory. Listen to this in Ephesians 1. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. That's Ephesians. He created us, by the way, for His glory. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who was called by my name, whom I created for my glory. That's Isaiah chapter 43, verses 6 and 7. God called even ancient Israel to His glory. Listen to this in Isaiah 49. It says, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. I made the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah cling to me, declares the Lord, that they might be for me a people, a name, a praise, and a glory." That's Jeremiah 13:11, by the way. God rescued Israel from Egypt for His glory. Psalm 106 says, "Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider Your wondrous works, but rebelled by the sea, at the sea. Yet He saved them for His namesake, that He might make known His mighty power." By the way, God raised up Pharaoh to show His power and glorify His name. Listen to Romans chapter 9, verse 17. God raised Pharaoh up to show His power and glorify His name. For the Scripture says to Pharaoh, "For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." You could just go on and say God defeated Pharaoh, didn't He, for His glory. He says, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all of his host." God spared Israel in the wilderness for His glory. We could go on. God did not cast away His people for the glory of His name. Boy, you just go through the Old Testament. You see Israel rebel against God over and over again. Even in our study of Judges, again, the people did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And yet God redeemed them. He saved them. He sent a deliverer over and over again. Why? For the glory of His name, that He might demonstrate Himself as a long-suffering Savior. This is our God. God. Amen? Yeah. Jesus sought the glory of His Father in all that He did too. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of Him who sent Him is true. And in Him there is no falsehood. John 7:18. Jesus told us to do good works so that God gets glory. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, what, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus warned that not seeking God's glory makes faith impossible. Listen to this. John chapter 5, verse 44. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God, He says. Jesus said that He answers prayer, that God would be glorified. John 14:13, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son," He says. Jesus endured His final hours of suffering for God's glory. He says, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify Your name." Then a voice from heaven came, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again," He says. "Father, for the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You." Can you get the idea that God's concerned about His glory? Now, I hope you understand what that means when we say the glory of God. The idea that God wants to be known. It is the shining forth, if you will, of all of His perfections. It is the demonstration of the showing forth of all of His perfections. This is what we mean by glory. And when we talk about us as His creatures giving glory to Him, it is ascribing glory to God, either in the manner in which we live, or the words that come out of our mouth, or even the thoughts that we think, right? To make much of God, right? To speak of Him in such a way that shows forth who He is. To live a life in such a way that people might see us and say, there is a God. There is a God. And He changes people's lives. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we could go on. Jesus is coming again for the glory of God. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might when He comes on the day to be glorified in His saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed. 2 Thessalonians verses 1, or chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Jesus' ultimate aim for us is that we see and enjoy His glory. He says, Father, I desire that they also whom You have given Me may be with Me where I am, to see My glory that You have given Me because You have loved Me before the foundation of the world, He says. John 17, we could go on. The New Jerusalem, the glory of God replaces the sun, right, in that New Jerusalem. And the city has no need of the sun or moon to shine in it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. That's Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. Well, my point is this, is that whatever we do, listen, you understand, missions is a plural word. Missions is what we do. It is the activities that we do. Whether it's here in our own Jerusalem, right, you, or whether it's Stephen and I going to Zimbabwe, those are the missions and doing what we do. The mission is singular. The mission is the glory of God. That's it. That is the mission. All the other activities are just a means to that end. I hope you understand that. God will glorify Himself. He will make Himself known. And I want to say this too before we go any further. God's glory, His perfections, His character is not enhanced or diminished by anything that we do or don't do. Do you understand? God is as glorious as He'll ever be.
Yes.
Right? Full glory. That's God. But what we're talking about here is ascribed glory.
Yes.
That is glory, the glory of God, the character of God, the perfections of God that's manifest in the lives of His people. That's you. That's me. Right? Ascribed glory. As the psalmist said, ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Right? Ascribe to the Lord. That is, say of the Lord, praise to the Lord, speak of His character and His person. Live out a life that manifests the character and the person of God, who He is. That's what it means. His perfections. His glory can be made more or less manifest through us by what we do or don't do. This is what we call, again, ascribed glory, to make Him known. And so this is the goal of missions. This is the goal of everything that we do. This is, by the way, this is the goal of your marriage. This is the goal of, by the way, which is part of the mission.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
This is the goal of bringing up children.
Yes.
Which is a part of the mission, right? This is the goal of going to Zimbabwe or staying here in Randolph County, right? Whatever we do, we're to do for the glory of God. It's all a part of the mission. Think about it. Our going, our preaching, our baptisms, our evangelism, our discipleship. I mean, why disciple? Right? Isn't it so that people would grow to be mature followers of Jesus Christ so that their lives might bring greater glory to God? Isn't the goal of evangelism not just to keep people out of hell, right? It is so that these lives will be transformed in the likeness of Christ. And who better to glorify God than Christ? Right? You know, all of this are just means to an end. Our preaching, our baptism, our evangelism, our discipleship, all of it. Listen, I say this all to you because the church, particularly in America, is in danger of losing its driving force. It is being driven by man-centered motives in many places around the world. If everything and everyone is created through Him and for Him, then we must operate that way. A way in which communicates to an observing world that everything is about Him.
Yes.
Everything is about our triune God. When we forget, or in practice, forsake that is the glory of God, the church and ministry and missions become about something less than Him. It is way too low for a created being, created by God, to glorify something else or someone else other than Him. And it's a horrible, horrible sin. People actually start to complain many times in churches. Spend all that money to go around the world when we got problems here in America. We got people coming to our church, these little kids, and they get fingerprints on our windows. They're not even members of our church. We don't have any activities for my kids. You see, it's not about the glory of God at all. It's about our comfort and about our ease and about our resources and our stuff, right? I mean, we have whole denominations now that ask churches for annual numbers of baptisms and VBS attendance and giving numbers so that they can post all those for the glorification of a denomination. Right? How about this one? I'm going to hit a soft spot somewhere here in just a minute. How about this one? Churches who build these shrines to their dead ancestors, cemeteries surrounding their churches, this living organism surrounded by dead people, where people come to exonerate their deceased loved ones. And we make fun of the Roman Catholics. We do the same things. Not about the glory of God at all. Or how about this one? We buy all these wonderful, marvelous pews, and then we put our names on the end of them because we donated the money for it. Or how about our stained glass Jesuses?
Yeah.
Well, we also put our names on there because we built that. And all that has little or nothing to do about the glory of God at all. Spending thousands and thousands of dollars on cemetery maintenance and lawn maintenance and building maintenance, and spend very, very little on things that really matter for eternity. Listen, when we forsake the glory of God for something else, listen, for anything else, missions can become about anything we want it to. We can feed the hungry. We can rescue little children from sex trafficking, right? We can even train pastors with little or no thought about God at all. There's a danger for us. Worship becomes an event for people instead of an encounter with the living God. Preaching becomes man-centered drivel instead of life-altering encounters with Christ Jesus. Church becomes about meeting felt needs instead of dealing with man's ultimate need, sin, right? And the need for a Savior to be forgiven of our sin. Church and missions becomes about relieving or dealing with pain, or how to be a better husband, or how to be wise with money, or managing stress. And there are few, if ever, encounters with Christ. We seldom take time to think about how being a better husband or a money manager glorifies God, or how our pain or our stress can be a means to a more glorious end, that is the glory of God. We never learn to suffer well so that a watching world will see and hear of the grace of our God. Listen, you know better, right? I hope you do. At our church, you know better. We can't miss the point of all this, church. All of this spending, all of this going, all of this teaching, all of this work, all of it to make much of Him, right?
Yes.
To speak of Him, to tell of Him, to glorify Him. If it doesn't lead to Christ being made more known, to Him being more adored, to more accurately worshiping, listen, it's just wasted time. That's all it is. God is seeking His own glory. And we cannot forget that. We cannot forget that. So, it's always a good time, isn't it, to evaluate what or who it is that we're living for. It's a good exercise, not just for church. It's a good exercise for us as individuals too. Amen?
Yeah.
So it's a good thing to think about. What about our time? How do we spend our time? What do we give our time to? What about our treasures? Are we storing up treasures in heaven or on earth? What are we giving our treasures to? What do we value, right? What do our conversations gravitate to when we're speaking to people at work or at home or play? Do eventually our conversations gravitate toward the things of God, the things that bring glory and honor to God? Some stuff for you to think about. Are you living for His name and His fame, or for your own? Well, I think that's a good place to stop. Let's pray. Father, thank You for God, these reminders. We don't have to read very far, Lord, in Your Word to see Your passion for Your own glory. And it's right for You to do so. Father, I pray that You would, Lord, in these moments like this, God, remember our frame. We are but dust, God. And Lord, we struggle with this grace of humility. Lord, it's such a slippery thing. Just when we kind of think we got a hold of it, Lord, you show us another level of selfishness. And Father, we want to, Lord, at least at a minimum, we want to. We desire to have the desire, God, to glorify You, to die to self more and more, and to live for Christ. Lord, we continually need Your grace. We continually need Your help. And so, Lord, this morning we cry out for that. God, You might place in our minds and in our hearts once again, Lord, this burning desire, God, to make You known. And as we do, Lord, that You might keep us, Lord, from the tempter and temptation, that we, Lord, might be tempted, Lord, to work and labor or preach or go witnessing or just offer a cup of cold water, Lord, for something less than Your name and Your fame. So help us, we pray, as Providence Baptist Church, as individuals, whether we're in Zimbabwe or in Randolph County, North Carolina. God, may we seek above all things Your glory. To the praise and honor of Your name. Amen.